Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the lone segment of the Sunday, April 2nd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. We're going to do an abbreviated episode today. We're just going to do our Bible study readings and some prayers and devotions. We will pick back up with our Bible study tomorrow evening, Monday evening. So definitely hope you are looking forward to church this morning. If you didn't go last night, you're getting set up to go to church this morning. I would definitely encourage you to do so. So the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. I also want to remind you about the last link in the show notes. It is for the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give, Send, Go campaign. We are working on rapidly paying off our mortgage so we can commence setting up a Christian classical education-based school to provide an alternative in our community. Please go ahead and click on the link, take a read. It'll much more thorough description than I just gave you. Then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we would ask you to pass the link along. Also, sorry, a little tired this evening. Also, VailValleyBaptistChurch.org. You can go see our flyer for our occurrences here in Passion Week. We got a Good Friday service. We're going to have an Easter egg hunt, and then we're going to have our Easter services. So you can find the flyer there. If you're in the area, we would definitely love to have you for any and all of those. So definitely would encourage you to come along. Let's go ahead and get started. We're going to go ahead and open up with the first day morning prayer. It's called worship. Let's pray. O Lord, we commune with thee every day, but weekdays are worldly days, and secular concerns reduce heavenly impressions. We bless thee, therefore, for the day sacred to our souls, when we can wait upon thee and be refreshed. We thank thee for the institutions of religion, by use of which we draw near to thee and thou to us. We rejoice in another Lord's day, when we call off our minds from the cares of the world and attend upon thee without distraction. Let our retirement be devout, our conversation edifying, our reading pious, our hearing profitable, that our souls may be quickened and elevated. We are going to the house of prayer. Pour upon us the spirit of grace and supplication. We are going to the house of praise. Awaken in us every grateful and cheerful emotion. We are going to the house of instruction. Give testimony to the word preached and glorify it in the hearts of all who hear. May it enlighten the ignorant, awaken the careless, reclaim the wandering, establish the weak, comfort the feeble-minded, make ready a people for their Lord. Be a sanctuary to all who cannot come, forget not those who never come, and do thou bestow upon us benevolence towards our dependents, forgiveness towards our enemies, peaceableness towards our neighbors, openness towards our fellow Christians. Amen. All right, our morning devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 2nd. The text is from Matthew 27:14. He answered him to never a word. He had never been slow of speech when he could bless the sons of men, but he would not say a single word for himself. Never man spake like this man, and never man was silent like him. Was this singular silence the index of his perfect self-sacrifice? Did it show that he would not utter a word to stay the slaughter of his sacred person, which he had dedicated as an offering for us? Had he so entirely surrendered himself that he would not interfere in his own behalf, even in the minutest degree, but be bound and slain an unstruggling, uncomplaining victim? Was this silence a type of the defenselessness of sin? Nothing can be said in palliation or excuse of human guilt. and therefore he who bore its whole weight and stood speechless before his judge. Is not patient silence the best reply to a gainsaying world? Calm endurance answers some questions infinitely more conclusively than the loftiest eloquence. The best apologists for Christianity in the early days were its martyrs. The anvil breaks a host of hammers by quietly bearing their blows. Did not the silent Lamb of God furnish us with a grand example of wisdom, where every word was occasion for new blasphemy? It was the line of duty to afford no fuel for the flame of sin. The ambiguous and the false, the unworthy and mean, will ere long overthrow and confute themselves, and therefore the true can afford to be quiet and find silence to be its wisdom. Evidently our Lord, by his silence, furnished a remarkable fulfillment of prophecy. A long defense of himself would have been contrary to Isaiah's prediction. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. By his quiet, he conclusively proved himself to be the true Lamb of God. As such, we salute him this morning. Be with us, Jesus, and in the silence of our hearts, let us hear the voice of thy love. All right, well, now we're going to get into our Bible reading. We're going to be reading Deuteronomy 21 and 22. We're going to be reading the end of Luke 9 and then the first 12 verses of Luke 10. We'll be reading Psalm 74 and finally Proverbs 12, verse 11. So Deuteronomy 21. Hear the word of the Lord. If a slain person is found fallen in the open country in the land which Yahweh your God gives you to possess, and it is not known who has struck him, then your elders and your judges shall go out and measure the distance to the cities which are around the slain one. And it shall be that the city which is nearest to the slain man, that is the elders of that city, shall take a heifer of the herd which has not been worked and which is not pulled in a yoke. And the elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with running water, which has not been plowed or sown, and they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near, for Yahweh your God has chosen them to minister for him, and to bless in the name of Yahweh, and every dispute and every assault shall be settled by them. And all the elders of that city who are nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer, whose neck was broken in the valley. And they shall answer and say, Our hands did not shed this blood, nor did our eyes see it. Atone for your people, Israel, whom you have redeemed, O Yahweh, and do not place the guilt of innocent blood in the midst of your people's Israel. And the blood guiltiness shall be atoned for them. So you shall purge the guilt of innocent blood from your midst, when you do what is right in the eyes of Yahweh. If you go out to battle against your enemies, and Yahweh your God gives them over into your hands, and you take them away captive, and see among the captives a beautiful woman, and set your affection on her, and would take her as a wife for yourself, then you shall bring her home to your house, and she shall shave her head and trim her nails. She shall also remove the clothes of her captivity, and shall remain in your house, and weep for her father and mother a full month. And after that you may go into her and be her husband, and she shall be your wife. And it will be that, if you do not desire her, then you shall let her go wherever she wishes, but you shall certainly not sell her for money. You shall not mistreat her because you have humbled her. If a man has two wives, the one loved and the other unloved, and both the loved and the unloved have borne him sons. If the firstborn son belongs to the unloved, then it shall be in the day he wills what he has to his sons. He cannot make the son of the loved the firstborn before the son of the unloved who is the firstborn. But he shall recognize the firstborn, the son of the unloved, by giving him a double portion of all that he has, for he is the first of his vigor. The legal judgment for the firstborn belongs to him. If any man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey his father or his mother, and when they discipline him he will not even listen to them, then his father and mother shall seize him and bring him out to the elders of his city at the gateway of his hometown. Then they shall say to the elders of this city, This son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not listen to our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. Then all the men of his city shall stone him, and he will die. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel will hear of it and fear. And if a man has committed a sin, the judgment of which is death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, because cursed of God is he who is hanged. so that you do not make unclean your land which Yahweh your God gives you as an inheritance. All right, Deuteronomy 22. You shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep straying away and ignore them. You shall certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near you, or if you do not know him, then you shall bring it home to your house, and it shall be with you until your brother searches for it. Then you shall give it back to him. Thus you shall do with his donkey, and you shall do likewise with his garment, and you shall do likewise with anything lost by your brother, which he has lost and you have found. You are not allowed to ignore them. You shall not see your brother's donkey or his ox fallen down on the way, and ignore them. You shall certainly help him to raise them up. A woman shall not wear man's clothing, nor shall a man put on a woman's clothing. For whoever does these things is an abomination to Yahweh your God. If you happen to come upon a bird's nest along the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you shall not take the mother with the young. You shall certainly let the mother go, but the young you may take for yourself, in order that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, you shall make a parapet for your roof, so that you will not bring blood guilt on your house if anyone falls from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest all the produce of the seed which you have sown and the increase of the vineyard become defiled. You shall not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You shall not wear a material mixed of wool and flax together. You shall make yourself tassels on the four corners of your garment with which you cover yourself. If any man takes a wife and goes into her and then turns against her and charges her with shameful deeds and brings forth against her a bad name and says, I took this woman, but when I came near her, I did not find her a virgin. Then the girl's father and her mother shall take and bring out the evidence of the girl's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. Then the girl's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as a wife, but he turned against her. And behold, he has charged her with shameful deeds, saying, I did not find your daughter a virgin, but this is the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the garment before the elders of the city. So the elders of that city shall take the man and chastise him, and they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver and give it to the girl's father, because he brought forth a bad name against a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days. But if this charge is true, that the girl was not found a virgin, then they shall bring out the girl to the doorway of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her, and she will die because she has committed a disgraceful act in Israel by playing the harlot in her father's house. Thus you shall purge the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a married woman, then both of them shall die, the man who lay with the woman and the woman. Thus you shall purge the evil from Israel. If there is a girl who is a virgin engaged to a man, and another man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them, and they will die. The girl, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he has violated his neighbor's wife, thus you shall purge the evil from among you. But if in the field the man finds the girl who is engaged, and the man forces her and lies with her, then only the man who lies with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the girl. There is no sin in the girl worthy of death. For just as a man rises against his neighbor and murders him, so in this case, when he found her in the field, the engaged girl cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a girl who is a virgin, who is not engaged, and seizes her and lies with her, and they are found, then the man who lay with her shall give to the girl's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall become his wife, because he has violated her. He cannot divorce her all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, so that he will not uncover his father's skirt. Father's skirt. All right. Luke 9, starting in verse 51 through the end of the end of the chapter. Now it happened that when the day for him to be taken up were soon to be fulfilled, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead of him, and they went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make arrangements for him. But they did not receive him, because he was journeying, he was journeying with his face towards Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what kind of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. And as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But he said to him, Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everything in everywhere that I'm sorry, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. Another also said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say farewell to those at home. But Jesus said to him, No one, after putting his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Luke 10, we're going to read through to verse 12. Now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them in pairs ahead of him to every city and place where he himself was going to come. And he was saying to them, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go, behold, I send you out as lambs in the midst of wolves. Carry no money belt, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the way. Whatever house you enter, first say, Peace be to this house. And if a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. And whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, and say to them, The kingdom of God has come near to you. But in whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, Even the dust of your city which clings to our feet we wipe off against you. Yet know this, that the kingdom of God is at hand. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. All right. And Psalm 74. A Maskil of Asaph. Why, O God, have you rejected us forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? Remember your congregation, which you have purchased of old, which you have redeemed to be the tribe of your inheritance, and this Mount Zion, where you have dwelt. Lift up your steps towards the perpetual ruins. The enemy has damaged everything within the sanctuary. Your adversaries have roared in the midst of your meeting place. They have set up their own signs for signs. Each seems like one who lifts up and acts against the undergrowth of trees. And now it's carved work altogether. They smash with hatchet and hammers. They have set your sanctuary on fire. By bringing it to the ground, they have defiled the dwelling place of your name. They said in their heart, Let us completely subdue them. They have burned all the meeting places of God in the land. We do not see our signs. There is no longer any prophet, nor is there any among us who knows how long. How long, O God, will the adversary reproach? Will the enemy spurn your name forever? Why do you turn back your hand, even your right hand? From within your bosom, destroy them. Yet God is my king from of old, who works deeds of salvation in the midst of the earth. You divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea monsters in the waters. You crushed the heads of Leviathan. You gave him as food for the creatures of the desert. You split open springs and rivers. You dried up ever-flowing rivers. Yours is the day. Yours also is the night. You have established the light and the sun. You have caused all the boundaries of the earth to stand firm. You have formed summer and winter. Remember this, O Yahweh, that the enemy has reproached, and a wickedly foolish people has spurned your name. Do not deliver the soul of your turtle dove to the wild beast. Do not forget the life of your afflicted forever. Look to the covenant, for the dark places of the land are full of the haunts of violence. Let not the oppressed return dishonored. Let the afflicted and needy praise your name. Arise, O God, and plead your own cause. Remember how the wicked fool reproaches you all day long. Do not forget the voice of your adversaries, the rumbling of those who rise against you, which ascends continually. All right, and let's see. Proverbs 12, verse 11. He who cultivates his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who pursues empty things lacks a heart of wisdom. All right, well, that is our reading for the day. We're going to go ahead and do the evening devotion from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for April 2nd. The text for it is from Isaiah 53:10. He shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Plead for the speedy fulfillment of this promise, all ye who love the Lord. It is easy work to pray when we are grounded and bottomed as to our desires upon God's own promise. How can he that gave the word refuse to keep it? I'm sorry. How can he that gave the word refuse to keep it? Immutable veracity cannot demean itself by a lie, and eternal faithfulness cannot degrade itself by neglect. God must bless his Son. His covenant binds him to it. That which the Spirit prompts us to ask for Jesus is that which God decrees to give him. Whenever you are praying for the kingdom of Christ, let your eyes behold the dawning of the blessed day which draweth near. Behold the dawning of the blessed day which draweth near, when the crucified shall receive his coronation in the place where men reject him. Courage, you that prayerfully work, and toil for Christ with success of the very smallest kind. It shall not be so always. Better times are before you. Your eyes cannot see the blissful future. Borrow the telescope of faith. Wipe the misty breath of your doubts from the glass. Look through it and behold the coming glory. Reader, let us ask, do you make this your constant prayer? Remember that the same Christ who tells us to say, "Give us this day our daily bread," had first given us this petition: "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven." Let not your prayers be all concerning your own sins, your own wants, your own imperfections, your own trials, but let them climb the starry ladder and get up to Christ himself, and then, as you draw nigh to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, offer this prayer continually: "Lord, extend the kingdom of thy dear Son." Such a petition, fervently presented, will elevate the spirit of all your devotions. Mind that you prove the sincerity of your prayer by laboring to promote the Lord's glory. All right, and we're going to go ahead and close with the Lord's Day evening prayer. I hope you have a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. I definitely hope that you are going and worshiping with the saints today. I would pray that you would do so. It is a necessity and it is a command. And I hope to see you tomorrow. So let's go ahead and close. Like I said, this is the Lord's Day evening prayer. Let's pray. Most holy God, may the close of an earthly Sabbath remind me that the last of them will one day end. Animate me with joy that in heaven praise will never cease, that adoration will continue forever, that no flesh will grow weary, no congregations disperse, no affections flag, no thoughts wander, no will droop, but all will be adoring love. Guard my mind from making ordinances my stay or trust, from hewing out broken cisterns, from resting on outward helps. Wing me through earthly forms to thy immediate presence. May my feeble prayer show me the emptiness and vanity of my sins. Deepen in me the conviction that my most fervent prayers and most lowly confessions need to be repented of. May my best services bring me nearer to the cross and prompt me to cry, "None but Jesus." By thy Spirit give abiding life to the lessons of this day. May the seed sown take deep root and yield a full harvest. Let all who see me take knowledge that I have been with thee, that thou hast taught me my need as a sinner, hast revealed a finished salvation to me, hast enriched me with all spiritual blessings, hast chosen me to show forth Jesus to others, hast helped me to dispel the mists of unbelief. O great Creator, mighty Protector, gracious Preserver, thou dost load me with loving kindness, and hast made me thy purchased possession, and redeemed me from all guilt. I praise and bless thee for my Sabbath rest, my calm conscience, my peace of heart. Amen. All right, well, like I said, that is our reading for the day. Again, I hope you have a wonderful day, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good day. God bless.